Sleeping God's Review, The Cozy But Vast Open World Story Grail. Hi, this is Yumi. Let us make your next game night a very good one. Yes, Sleeping Gods is worth it if you want a cozy, story-first, open-world campaign you sail at your own pace, and you have a steady table solo or up to four to commit roughly 10 to 20 hours across a season. The catches are real but small. The diceless combat bites back and can feel punishing. It asks for table space and a little bookkeeping. And one full campaign is largely a one-way journey. The Tides of Ruin expansion's arcade mode is the antidote. If you're a hit-and-run party game group or you crave dice-chucking randomness, look elsewhere. If a story that sits atop a board game makes your heart lean in, this is the grail. Come in, leave your shoes by the door. There's a particular kind of evening I live for. The lamp low, a pot of something warm, and a world spread open on the table so big it makes everyone lean in and go oh asterisk. Sleeping Gods is that evening boxed. Here's the setup and I promise it's lovely. It's 1929. You and your crew, led by Captain Sophie Odessa, are aboard a steamship called the Manticore, and you've been swept through into a strange, shimmering place called the Wandering Sea. You are lost. To get home, you must sail this world, meet its people, weather its storms, and gather the totems of its sleeping gods. That's it. That's the ache that pulls you forward for 20 hours. What makes it special? And why I keep setting it down in front of nervous first-timers and watching them fall in love is that it never asterisk rushes asterisk you. You explore where you like. You read a passage, you make a choice, you live with it. A village might thrive because of you, or burn because you chose your crew over strangers. It's open world the way Breath of the Wild is open world, except it's painted on cardboard and it fits on your dining table. It is also, I'll be honest, not a small commitment and the fights can be cruel. So let me be your hostess through all of it. What's in this gorgeous box, how a voyage actually feels, whether the expansions earn their keep, and exactly who should pull up a chair. Settle in. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzle Week at no additional cost to you. What is Sleeping Gods, really an open-world atlas, you say? Yes, and I want you to picture it properly, because the format is the whole magic trick. Sleeping Gods is a cooperative campaign game for 1-4 players designed and illustrated by Ryan Lockhart and published by Red Raven Games. A full campaign runs roughly 10 to 20 hours, played in sessions of about 60 to 120 minutes each, and you save and resume on a journey log whenever life calls you away. It's rated 13+, some listings say 14+. Here's the part that delights people. The board is a 26-page spiral-bound atlas. Each spread is a hand-painted region of the Wandering Sea dotted with numbered locations. You sail your ship token across the page, and when you stop somewhere interesting, you open a storybook, a tilde 170-page tome of passages, to the matching number and read what you find. Choose a path, suffer or savor the consequence and sail on. There is no fixed track, no you must go here next. You wander. The reviewers reach for the same comparison again and again, and it's the right one. As Meeple Mountain put it, asterisk Sleeping Gods is a story that sits atop a board game. Asterisk and cooperative board games went further. Asterisk Sleeping Gods has a true open-world feel, which is something that I've only felt in a few other board games. That open-world-on-a-table feeling is the entire reason this game has the devoted following it does. The one-sentence pitch: you're a lost ship's crew in 1929, sailing a painted atlas and reading a choose-your-own-adventure storybook to find the totems that take you home at your own pace, solo or with up to three friends. Cozy, but not casual. Cozy here means warm, unhurried, save anytime, and beautiful, not short or simple. A real campaign is a season-long relationship with one box. That's the joy, just go in knowing it. What's in the box, and is the Ryan Lockhart art as gorgeous as they say? Oh, it's gorgeous. Ryan Lockhart illustrates every one of his games himself, and Sleeping Gods is widely considered his most beautiful board game. Gumbo flatly called it Ryan Lockhart's masterpiece. And soon that even a standard retail copy is asterisk absurdly gorgeous. This is the rare big box game where the art isn't decoration. It's the interface you spend the whole evening looking at. Here's what you're unboxing roughly. The Atlas, a 26-page spiral-bound book of connecting hand-painted regions. This is your map and your board. The storybook, around 170 pages of numbered passages with branching choices. Publishers cite thousands of possible choices across a campaign. Hundreds of cards, adventure, quest, enemy, event, market, ability, and totem cards. Red Raven cites 400 plus unique cards across the game's content. Your crew of 8, each a distinct character with their own stats across strength, perception, savvy, craft, and cunning. The shipboard for the Manticore command tokens, the totem collection that drives your win condition, plus tokens, standees, and a journey log for saving progress. The production quality is part of the love. As one reviewer noted, asterisk, the card stock and cardboard tokens are all really nice quality, and the actual storage system and boxes are impressive. It's a box that rewards being opened slowly, the way you'd unwrap something special. By the numbers, 1 to 4 players, 10 to 20 HR campaign, 60 to 120 min session, 26-page Atlas 100, and 70-page storybook, 8-person crew, 400-plus cards, diceless combat ages, 13-plus. How does it play? Sailing a living world, the storybook, and that combat? Let me walk you through a turn because the rhythm is so satisfying. On your go, you do two things. Take an action aboard the ship. Then move the story forward. Aboard the Manticore, you nudge a crew figure into one of the ship's rooms to take that room's action, gain command tokens, draw cards, repair damage, trade at market. There's a lovely little constraint. You must move to a *new* room each turn. No camping, your favorite. As Meeple Mountain notes, you must move the figure to a new room each turn. No repeating your favorite room 2 turns in a row. Rooms take damage in storms and fights, locking you out of actions until you patch them, so your ship feels alive and lived in, fraying at the edges. Out in the world, you sail to a numbered location, open the storybook and read. You'll make a choice, often spend a skill, rolling your stat against a target. And the world responds a new quest keyword, a reward, a scar. This is the choose-your-own-adventure heart, and it's handcrafted. Every passage connects to the larger journey rather than shuffling random vignettes. And then there's combat, the part that bites back. It's fully diceless. Enemies sit on a grid and you place your crew's hits to prevent their counterattacks rather than just trade blows. Cooperative board game sums it up. It's not just rolling dice and seeing what happens. You have to come up with a way to limit what the enemies can do on their counterattacks. It's a genuine puzzle and it's hard. Roll to Review warns that fights are difficult and can kill you without warning. Whenever we entered combat, we left licking our wounds if we left at all. That tension is the spice, just know it's there. A closer look at the lush, illustrated art that defines exploration across the wandering sea. Combat is a puzzle, and it's punishing. The diceless fights are tense and deeply strategic, but they can spike in difficulty and the longest fights eat the most table time. Plan your approach, manage your wounds, and don't wander into a fight underprepared. Save any time, it's built for real life. The journey log lets you stop mid-voyage and pick up weeks later exactly where you left off. This is what makes a 20-hour campaign actually finishable for busy tables and solo players alike. For the right person, wholeheartedly yes, and let me reassure you on the price, because the sticker can make you hesitate. Either way, do the math on hours. A single campaign is 10 to 20 hours of play from one box, and that's before the expansions or arcade mode. As a cost per hour of genuine wonder, it's one of the most generous boxes on the shelf. What you're actually paying for is craft and singularity. This isn't a commodity Amerit Rush dungeon crawl. It's a hand-illustrated, hand-written world that critics rank at the very top of the genre. Cooperative board games called it the best storytelling game that I've ever played and one of the best cooperative board games I've played, period. And Meeple Mountain landed on asterisk a paragon of world building. A masterclass in storytelling, and quite simply, a masterpiece. The honest caveats so you buy with open eyes. First, replayability is finite by design. One campaign is largely a one-way journey. Dale, you got asterisk 13 plus hours asterisk of joy, but noted the limited replay value once the story's told. The Tides of Ruin arcade mode is the fix. Second, it wants table space and a little bookkeeping. The Atlas, Storybook, Shipboard, and Card Rows sprawl. Third, the first printing rules had some gaps, Dale flagged. The community frequently asked questions smooths them over. None of these are deal-breakers for the target player. They're just the trade you make for a world this big and this personal. Where the value lives if open world story campaign you sail at your own pace is the experience you want. Almost nothing else delivers it this beautifully. How do I get started and what are your tips for a first voyage? Here's how I'd seat a newcomer, because a little hosting goes a long way with a game this open. Sleeping Gods has a asterisk gentle on-ramp but a wide open middle asterisk, and the freedom that makes it magical can briefly feel like, wait, where do I go? On night one, let me steady you. My tips for your maiden voyage: read the rulebook once, then learn by sailing. You'll internalize the loop, ship action, then explore, then resolve within your first session. Don't try to memorize everything cold. Keep the community frequently asked questions handy. The first printing had a few rule omissions, artifacts, some enemy abilities. A well-loved community errata frequently asked questions resolves them in seconds. Have it open so a question never stalls the mood. Pick a heading and commit. You don't have to optimize. Chase a quest that sounds lovely, gather command tokens, and let the story pull you. Wandering is the point. Respect combat, don't stumble into it tired. Repair your ship, stock ability cards, and approach fights as the puzzles they are. Retreat is a valid, wise choice. Mind the spoilers in the storybook. Bolded italicized text can hint at branches you haven't reached. Read only the passage number you're sent to and resist flipping ahead. For solo players, it's a beloved solo experience. Run 2 or 3 crew yourself for a fuller toolkit and a richer table presence. Mostly though, let it breathe. This isn't a race to a high score. It's a voyage you're taking with people, or beautifully, alone. And the best first session ends with everyone wanting to know what's over the next page. Game components in play, capturing the painterly style Red Raven Games is known for. Grab the community frequently asked questions before night one. The first printing rulebook has a handful of documented gaps. A community errata frequently asked questions widely shared as a GitHub gist. Answers them instantly so nothing breaks your immersion mid-voyage. Are the expansions worth it? Tides of Ruin and Distant Skies. Lovely question, and the two are very different beasts. Let me sort them for you. Tides of Ruin is a true asterisk expansion. You need the base game. The headline edition, and the reason I'd reach for it, is arcade mode. A roguelike way to play in shorter, repeatable, higher variability runs. If your one worry about the base game is what do I do after the campaign, this is the answer. It's the expansion I'd recommend first, and almost universally, for anyone who loved their voyage and wants more sea to sail with real replay value. New setting: San Francisco, 1937, where your cargo plane flies through a portal into a rugged new land. It evolves the system. A deck-building combat where you draw a hand from a built combat deck, a fresh action system, and deeper Atlas interaction, camping, obstacles, relic hunting. It's gorgeous and ambitious, but here's my honest hostess note. Critics found it a sideways step, not a leap. Player eliminations: Charlie Thiel concluded asterisk Distant Skies is certainly an evolution, but it's unfortunately not something greater. And that Distant Skies is a fine game, but it needed to be an extraordinary one. So, loved Sleeping Gods and want more of asterisk that world with replay value? Tides of Ruin every time. Want a fresh, self-contained adventure with a new combat engine and don't mind it being a touch less magical than the original? Distant Skies is a fine place to fly. New cards and components from Tides of Ruin expanding the world of Sleeping Gods even further. The simple buying order: 1. Base game first. 2. If you loved it and want replay value, then Tides of Ruin. 3. Distant Skies only if you want a whole new standalone story with deck-building combat. Buy it as its own game, not as more base game. Standalone versus expansion: Tides of Ruin requires the base game, it's an expansion. Distant Skies does not. It's a complete standalone sequel set in 1937 San Francisco with its own box, rules, and combat system. Who is Sleeping Gods for and who should pass? Let me be the friend who tells you the truth before you spend the money. You will adore this if you are someone who loves asterisk story above all. Choose your own adventure books, narrative RPGs, a good campaign you live inside for weeks. If open world at my own pace makes you lean in. If you play solo and want a rich, beautiful companion for long evenings. If you have a steady duo or small group that can commit to a season-long arc. If gorgeous hand-painted art is part of why you love this hobby. For you, this is close to a desert island grail roll to reviews. Reviewer called it my favorite narrative-driven board game, with a world map that takes your breath away with its grandeur. And I'd echo every word. You should probably pass if you are a hit-and-run party group that wants something taught and finished in 45 minutes. A player who asterisk needs asterisk dice-driven chaos and big swingy randomness. The diceless combat will feel cerebral, even dry to you. Someone with no table space or no appetite for setup teardown across multiple sessions. A group that won't reliably reconvene. An abandoned campaign at hour 8 is a small heartbreak. Or someone who wants infinite replay from a single purchase. One campaign is mostly one journey, an arcade mode, not a base box, is where the replay lives. The honest summary. This is an asterisk specific asterisk delight, not a crowd pleaser, and that specificity is exactly why the people who love it so fiercely. If your heart sped up anywhere in this review, pull up a chair. The Manticore's been waiting for you. The 10-second verdict. Story first. Open world, save anytime, solo or small group, breathtakingly painted then buy it. Party game, dice chaos craver, no table space, flaky group, or must replay forever then pass or borrow first. Final verdict. Sleeping Gods is the cozy but vast open world story grail it's reputed to be, and one of the few games that truly earns the word grail. Ryan Locke at hand-painted a living world. Wrapped it in a 26-page atlas you sail and a tilde 170-page storybook you live inside. And let you wander it at your own gentle pace. Solo or with friends, saving whenever life calls. The reviews aren't shy and neither am I. It's a masterpiece of storytelling and the best open-world feeling on a tabletop. The caveats are honest and small. The diceless combat bites back, it wants table space and a touch of bookkeeping. And one campaign is mostly a one-way voyage, by Tides of Ruin for arcade mode and real replay. It is not a party game and not for the dice chaos crowd. But if you want a season-long evening in a beautiful world that remembers your choices, set the table, pour something warm and welcome aboard the Manticore. For the right person, this is a 9.5/10 keep forever box. Strongly recommended. Frequently asked questions. Is Sleeping Gods worth it? Yes, if you want a cozy story first, open world campaign you sail at your own pace solo or with up to 3 others. How long is a Sleeping Gods campaign? A full campaign runs roughly 10 to 20 hours, played across multiple sessions of about 60 to 120 minutes each. You save your progress on a journey log and resume whenever you like, so it's very friendly to busy schedules and solo play. Can you play Sleeping Gods solo? Absolutely, it's a beloved solo game. It supports 1 to 4 players, and solo players typically run 2 or 3 crew members themselves for a fuller toolkit. The cooperative no hidden information design means the experience is essentially identical whether you play alone or with friends. How does combat work in Sleeping Gods? Combat is completely diceless. Enemies sit on a grid, and you place your crew's hits strategically to limit or prevent their counterattacks rather than just trading damage. It's a tactical puzzle that rewards planning, and it's genuinely punishing, so approach fights prepared and don't be afraid to retreat. Is Sleeping Gods replayable? The base campaign is largely a one-way journey, you'll see most of it in 1-10 to 20-hour playthrough, so direct replay is limited. The Tides of Ruin expansion fixes this with arcade mode, a roguelike, repeatable format with high variability. If replay value matters to you, plan to add Tides of Ruin. Do I need the base game to play Tides of Ruin? Yes. Tides of Ruin is an expansion, not a standalone. It requires a copy of the base Sleeping Gods game. It adds a second 10-page atlas, a new storybook, 190+ cards, and the roguelike arcade mode. Is Distant Skies a standalone game or an expansion? Distant Skies is a complete standalone sequel. You do not need the original Sleeping Gods to play it. It's set in 1937 San Francisco, has its own box and rules, and uses a new deck-building combat system. It shares the world but tells an independent story. Should I buy Tides of Ruin or Distant Skies first? If you loved Sleeping Gods and want more of that world plus replay value, buy Tides of Ruin first. Its arcade mode is the standout. Choose Distant Skies only if you want a fresh, self-contained adventure with new deck-building combat. Critics considered it a fine sideways step rather than a clear upgrade over the original. How many players is Sleeping Gods best with? It shines at 1 to 2 players and stays excellent up to 4. Because turns are quick and information is shared, it scales smoothly. Larger groups just mean more crew to coordinate. Solo and two-player are the most commonly praised configurations. Who designed and illustrated Sleeping Gods? Ryan Lockhart both designed and illustrated it, published through his studio Red Raven Games. He hand-paints all the art himself, and Sleeping Gods is widely regarded as his most beautiful and ambitious work. Reviewers routinely call it Ryan Lockhart's masterpiece. Is Sleeping Gods hard to learn? The core loop, take a ship action, then explore and read a story passage is easy to pick up, and you'll learn by playing within your first session. The main caution is the first printing rulebook had a few documented gaps, keep a community frequently asked questions handy, and the open-ended freedom can briefly feel daunting before it becomes the best part. What is Sleeping Gods about? It's 1929, and you captain a crew aboard the steamship Manticore, swept through into a strange world called the Wandering Sea. To return home, you sail a painted atlas, meet its inhabitants, weather storms and battles, and gather the totems of the Sleeping Gods, making branching choices in a 170-page storybook that shape your journey along the way.